she ought to be more lovely today in all aspects of her personality than the day you married her. If she's not, we as husbands need to check ourselves. Because we are told we ought to love our wives as our own bodies. And I'm getting older now, and there are physical disabilities that prevent me from doing a lot of the things. But I remember the days when I wanted to get into the gym. I wanted to lift weights. I wanted to be fit. I remember the days when I could play soccer in any kind of weather, never be bothered, because I had an objective. I wanted to be the best player I could be. I wanted my body to look so people would take a second glance as I walked by. But do I love my wife as much as I love my own body? Do I spend as much time with her, in a sense, and I don't want to seem demeaning, but in a sense, molding and shaping her under the guidance of the Lord Jesus, as I did when I wanted to keep fit? No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. If we realize what the Lord Jesus has done for us, if we realize what a stoop he took in order to win us to him, in order that he might one day have this glorious church presented to himself without spot, without wrinkle. He was like the merchantman whose objective was to seek goodly pearls, beautiful pearls. One day, he found not a beautiful pearl. He found one pearl of great price. What did he do? Did he admire it? Did he say, too expensive? He went and he sold all that he had in order to purchase that one pearl. Yes, he left heaven. He veiled that glory. Came into this world as a man. Experienced all the things that we experience as human beings. For one purpose. To lay down his life so that he could have for himself that pearl of great price. If there's submission from the wife, if there is that love from the husband, all patterned after the example of the Lord Jesus, the children are going to grow up in an atmosphere where they see dad loving their mom, seeing their mom cooperating, submitting. And they may not even know that word, but they will see her working in concert with her husband, with their dad. You know what comes out of that? There's a unity in the family. Because they're all on the same wavelength. Dad setting the standard, mom following, and children accepting that this is reality. And you know what the Word of God says about unity? Good and pleasant. But you know what has always gripped my heart? That God compares that unity to what he did with the children of Israel when he was setting up the Aaronic priesthood. He gave Moses instructions about two things. One was an anointment with which Aaron and his sons had to be anointed. And he not only told them what the ingredients should be, but what the amounts should be. And then there was this perfume. Let me just turn to it. And he says, you know, of this perfume and of the ointment, he gave not only specific instructions, but he said, it is never to be used for anything else. And no one is ever to attempt to make it. Let me hasten to assure you that there is no pharmacist on earth, no matter how skilled he is, who can ever replicate that. And God says of unity, whether it be in the family, whether it be in the assembly, that comes up to him as a sweet-smelling odor. So when husbands love their wives, wives submit to their husbands, and children are subject to the parents, God gets an aroma from that family that nothing else can exceed. But then there is the public testimony. And for that we turn to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 3. God says, out of this family now, the man who is in headship position in the assembly may be called upon to play a role of oversight. But he does not allow anyone to take this role. He sets up conditions. If I am not what I ought to be in the home, in relationship with my wife and children, I cannot be in this position of oversight in God's assembly. I may take it, but what I'm going to do is wreak havoc in that assembly. He says this individual who is in oversight in the assembly must be of high moral character.